I guess. Thought it was gonna lock up.
Oh, then they just.
Right. I'll explain to you in a minute after everybody gets one and, which. I started this.
Is this from Southern Company to Southern?
Yeah, you can just take them, leave, put them in the offering plate. I started that years ago. You know, I got to thinking about one Christmas there which it's a church, they had drawings and everything. At the church, people was drawing names and everything. And then after the service, they was giving out bags of fruit and stuff like that. But they was giving out the gifts too, that had people's names on them and everything. And I got to thinking about something right then. I says, from now on, if I'm part of any service, I want to make sure that I don't know, I want to forget about whose birthday it is. And I know that this time of year, the 21st, 25th of December, it's not the exact birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but it's that day is set aside for all the people just to be able to celebrate his birth. But I think the thing about it is a whole lot of people have forgot about celebrating the birth of our Savior many, many years ago, that now they don't even think about him no more. But the reason I do it is I like for people just to take one. It's no certain amount. If you don't have to do nothing but if you ain't got nothing but just put a quarter in it or a penny, whatever. The Lord knows about what you put in there. And the Lord will bless on that. And I always take it and set it aside that what we end up gathering up the last Sunday or the last Sunday before Christmas, we take it up and I always had the men at the church to come and anybody else who wanted to come and just pray over the envelopes and everything. But really, what really got me enthused about doing it was to see young children that didn't even really know anything about it, but they would come up the steps and they would run and say, "Preacher, wait a minute, preacher. And said that they'd come up and they'd lay theirs on the altar. And one year we had the deacons there decided what the church needed, and right to the penny is what the church got, which was a whole lot more people than what we got down here. But still, I just want to embed into the churches and let you know that this is the time that we celebrate his birthday. And you keep envelope, you don't have to bring it back until the last Sunday, which will be not this coming Sunday, but Sunday week. And we'll put them right up here on the altar, on the communion table, and we'll pray over them. And then we'll let everybody know what we got. And you will be surprised of what kind of blessing that you'll receive from it. You don't have to give. You don't have to give no 10%. Just give a little something. A dime, a quarter, a penny, $100, $1,000. It's no limit. And you don't have to start with nothing. You don't have to say, well, we're going to have this, but you got to put at least $10 in. No, I'm not going to, no, I'm not doing it. Because, see, he didn't put a price on us. He didn't put a price on us, but look at everything he done for us. Everything that he has done for us. We can go around and we can collect all the money we want to collect. We can go to all the banks and everything, and we can ask them to let us have our money. We want to bring it to church Sunday. We want to give it to the Lord. All the banks in the city of Danville could give us all the money that they have, all the change that they have, and we could bring it right down here and put it right there. And we could pray over that. Still, that would not even be a face of what he has done for us. He's done so much more for us. And you know, I've been thinking about that message that Brother J.D. brought Sunday morning. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. I think he wants us to enjoy his blessings. And if you know anybody that wants one, that can bring it back, fine. You can have some more cards up here. I'll have some more Sunday. But that right there enthuses the people. That's in church, and it tells the people that's outside too that when they come in and they take one, say, "What? Ain't that just to take up money for yourself?" He's recognizing who Jesus is, and we will not take it and spend it on foolishness either. We'll take it and spend it on something that the church needs. And we'll discuss that a little later, after Christmas. After we know how much we got and everything, and we'll discuss it. Y'all bring it up. It's something that you think the church needs. Just let us know. But tonight, if you will for a few minutes tonight, I want to look over here in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And it's talking about this scripture, and really this whole chapter right here is speaking about the gift. The gift that God has given each and every one of us. And I'm not gonna elaborate on it too long, because I know we got a business meeting tonight, and we just need to get out, because I know that I'm going to start letting Brother Bill handle the business meeting too, because it seems like I get too carried away with it. And I'll say more than what I need to say. So I'm going to allow Bill to start doing that. But if you will, here in chapter 2 in the book of Luke, we see right here where there was a gift that was given. And it says right here in verse 1, it says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, and all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judah, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Verse 12, it says, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This right here tonight, what we've just read, is the perfect gift that anyone could ever receive. And the gift was given by God the Father. God the Father is the one that gave this greatest gift. And this greatest gift was His Son, Jesus Christ. He allowed Him to leave the portals of glory and to come down and take up the form of man. But before He took up the form of mankind, He was espoused by Mary. Mary carried the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when He was born, He was not born in no castle or big mansion or anything like that, or a room that where had beds. But He was born in a lowly stable. Why was He born there? Because the stable represented the flock that He came to and was going to eventually die for. That's the reason He came. He came for the flock. And that's what the stable represented, was the flock. And you have in the stable there a manger that was built there where the cattle and different cattle could come in and be able to feed from the trough in that stable that day. And the days before, and the days after. So that stable there, and the manger, the place where was where the feed had went. Now I know that probably all of you know about a
On a farm, when you had, when you went out here and you fed your animals, you fed the cows and everything, you wouldn't just take it and pour it on the grain. You would always put it in some type of trough. And you would put the grain there in the trough, and they would eat of the grain. Then after they got through eating from the grain, then they would take the what they had already eaten there, they would wash that out, and which and I washed them many of them out, and you would fill it back up with water. Yes, it would leak sometime because of the wood, it wasn't all that closed in, but it would take the water. And where the animals could take and drink the water to digest the food system, the food that they took in, the grain of the seed, just like us as individuals. You know, it's hard for us just to sit down and eat and not be able to drink anything afterward. Because what we take of it, what we, like this water, I can take this water and I can take a bologna sandwich with mustard, which I think is good. Now I can sit there and I can eat me two of the sandwiches. But before I finish the second sandwich, I've got to have something. Kind of open it up for my digestive system so that that bologna and the sandwich that I've just chewed up will go into my digestive system. But we'll see here, right here in the trough, in the manger, where Jesus is going to be the bread of life. The bread of life. For you and me. He's the only one that can fill our inner soul. Yes, we can go out here, we can go and stop at McDonald's, Hardee's, and we can go to Chick-fil-A and all of them places, and we can go there. But what that does, that just soothes the outside, the outward man. But we also have the water which the cattle drank from, and which the cattle drank from the trough, the water that was there, then the digestive system would open up. And I may not even be explaining all that right compared to what the doctors explain, but I'm going to explain the best way I know how. But the water opens up the digestive system. What does that mean? It's quenching the thirst. He is the one that quenches our thirst. He's the one that will bring forth and what we need. And we need Him each and every day. But notice this also. In the birth of our Savior, what did they do before they laid Him in that manger? What did they do? They probably took a robe that maybe Mary had on. Maybe something that Joseph had had on, and then they wrapped him. Why did they wrap him? Because they didn't want him to get filthy. They didn't want nothing
to harm him, to get, but it says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Wrapped. He was wrapped again. The second time he was wrapped was when he come down off of the cross there at Calvary. After he took up the flesh of mankind, and after he went out of here, he done mighty works and all the wonders and all the healing and all the raising up the dead and the sick and all of that. But then he went all the way to the cross. He knew that he was not going to be there just for that reason. And he wasn't going to be there just for Mary and Joseph. He knew that he had something that he had fulfilled. And he had to go all the way to the cross. Yes, he had to make a journey all the way to the cross. We have to make that journey also before we get home. And we're on that journey today. Before we get our final destination. And when we do, we're gonna end up having the robe that only God can give us. We have the garment of salvation on us now. What is the garment of salvation? The garment of salvation, I believe, is our testimony, our life, in the way we live before people that we come in contact with. And then you have the robe of righteousness. We have the robe of righteousness as long as we obey God and as long as we do it God's way. But when we take our eyes off of God and say, I can do that. Then what does he do? He takes that robe of righteousness on. Why? Because then we're patting our own self on the back. We say that we can do it. We're not depending on God anymore. I've got a message at the house that I've been working on for 2 or 3 years. And I don't know if the Lord ever let me preach it or not. But it's speaking about the garments. It's speaking about the garment of salvation and then the robe of righteousness. But when we get to the death and the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he died on the cross because that was his destiny when he left heaven. Was to go forth and to die on the cross. To die on the cross for me and for you and for the whole world. That's the reason he stretched out his arm. His arm was asking, here I am. All you have to do is just come unto me. Come unto me. And you'll have safety. They wrapped him that day when they took him off of the cross. They wrapped him from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. They wrapped him in a linen cloth. Why? Why did they wrap him? Because they wanted, the soldiers, that they wanted to make sure that he would stay there in the grave. So when they placed him in that grave that day, and before the soldiers had rolled that stone in front of that place, glory be unto God. They took a napkin. Everything that God does has a reason behind it. Everything he does it for
for the good of his people, what it does it for? But it wrapped him in it now. Then they took and they placed that napkin over his head, over his face. But on the third day, he came forth from the grave. He didn't have to move no stone. He could have just came forth, and he could have just came forth through the earth, through all the rocks that was above him and everything, just like he was about ready to go into the upper room there, right after that.
They had him wrapped. But thanks be to God, he was unwrapped
that day for you and me. He was unwrapped for you and me. That where, if we ever had the opportunity to ever go to over there, to Israel, to Jerusalem, and all that place, and we'd go up to Golgotha's hill, up at where the cross was, and then come back down to where the grave was at, we could look inside and we could see no sign of him. No sign of his body. The only sign that is there is his linen clothes. We're laying right where he was laying. But the napkin that was over his face was not laying with the others. It was laying over here by himself. You know why that was? That means I'm not dead. I'm coming back out. I'm coming back. I'm coming back in a little while. See, our timetable, his timetable, is not the same. Our timetable, one day, 24 hours a day, 1,000 years, to think. I'm going to tell you something. Oh, me. I sure am glad he was unwrapped from me. I'm so glad that he was unwrapped for each one of you. I'm so glad that he was unwrapped that we could go about telling people. Because there's nothing no more wonderful than to tell somebody else that Jesus loves them all. And he wants to be up for you. If they would just be his friends. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time we've had with you. Now, Lord, Father, as we go into the little short business meeting that we do have, Father, we ask God that you just will touch in a special way. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're going to do here at Faith Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.